Luke chapter 2. We're going to read verses 25 down through 32. Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 25. There was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to carry out for him the custom of the law, then he took him in his arms and blessed God and said, "Now, Lord, you are releasing your bondservant to depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, the light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel." Beloved, this is the word of our Lord. Let's pray together. Master, we thank you for your word and for the opportunity to come into your house and to proclaim it. We pray, Lord, this morning, Holy Spirit, that you abide again among us in a mighty way. Lord, open our eyes, open our hearts. Speak to us this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the important aspects of the advent of Christ is the revelation of him to a particular group of people around the time of his birth. And there are five groups I wanted to mention briefly this morning as we begin. And the first one is simply Mary. Of course, God sent his angel Gabriel to Mary reveal to her that she would conceive and she would bear a son and call his name Jesus. And Gabriel told her that this son would reign over the house of Israel, the house of Jacob, forever. Second, we see Mary's cousin, whose name was Elizabeth, the wife of Zacharias, and they were the parents of John the Baptist. And while Mary was still pregnant with Jesus, and she came to visit her sister Elizabeth, when Mary walked into the house, through the power and the filling of the Holy Spirit, Elizabeth said this, "How is it that the mother of my Lord would come to visit?" So the Lord revealed to her the coming of the Christ while he was still in the womb of his mother. A third group we have are the lowly shepherds, the shepherds who were abiding by their sheep at night when Jesus was born. And you remember that as they were out there among the sheep, that God sent his angels to them to announce to them that this day, this night, a Savior has been born. A Savior, Christ the Lord. A fourth group, the Magi. The pastor mentioned these a couple of weeks ago. They came from the east. They were not Jews. They were Gentiles. And the Lord revealed to them through a star that they followed that brought them to Bethlehem. He revealed to them, they came to see the one born, the King of the Jews. And then today, fifthly, we want to spend some time focusing on a man whose name was Simeon. Simeon. You know, three aspects or three points of this we want to take a look at this morning and consider first that God made a promise to Simeon. God's promise to Simeon. And then secondly, God's revelation to Simeon. And then finally, Simeon's response to that revelation. So what do we understand of the promise that God made to Simeon? Well, let's consider first Simeon the man. Who exactly is Simeon? And the answer is, we really don't know. We really don't know. He could have been a priest who ministered in the temple there in Jerusalem. That's possible, although the passage doesn't seem to indicate that. More likely, he was one who would be understood today by our language to be a layman, one who had no position in the church, but he was concerned with the work and the well-being of the church. And so he was there. Simeon obviously lived in Jerusalem, and he was made himself available in and around the church as God would use him there during the course of his life. And as, although we don't know exactly who Simeon is, we know a little bit about the person of Simeon because the scripture tells us. And there are four actual attributes of Simeon that are given to us, and we're going to look at these briefly. The first is this: as a man, the scripture describes Simeon as a righteous man. He was righteous. And what's interesting about this, at least to me, that also Mary and Joseph were also described as being righteous. We see this in Matthew 1:19. Likewise, Zacharias and Elizabeth, again, the parents of John the Baptist, were also described as righteous. We see this in Luke chapter 1, verse 6. And so here's the question: what does it really mean? What does this mean to be described as righteous? Well, in biblical terms, one who is truly righteous is one who has been declared righteous by God Himself. We can't declare ourselves righteous. God alone can do that. And we're done so, we're declared righteous strictly and alone by our faith in Christ alone. And so in their case, Elizabeth and Zacharias and Mary and Joseph, they were declared righteous by their faith in the coming Christ, in the coming Messiah, the one God promised whom would come. And having been declared righteous in this way, even in a broader sense, it can also mean that they were those who were concerned that their lives manifested the very glory of God day in and day out. And so they were righteous before God in this way. Secondly, the scripture tells us that as a man, Simeon was devout. In one sense, this means that literally to kind of take hold of that which is good, to be devout. In other words, Simeon's life, in a real sense, was a testimony, doing those things that please God in order to bring glory to God. He was concerned about the glory of God based upon his love for God. And so as he manifested, as he lived out his love for Almighty God, in doing so, he became a testimony to these things, to the very glory of God Himself. He was devout. The third aspect of Simeon we see here is he was a man who was looking for the consolation of Israel. That is, by faith, Simeon not only trusted in the fact that Messiah was coming, he was looking for it. He was looking for the one who was promised to come. He was looking for the promise of God's comfort, of God's joy, of God's peace that we sing about during this time of the year. In other words, he was looking for God's salvation in the person, in the life of Jesus the Christ, the salvation God promised to his people. He promised to the nation of Israel. Now we keep in mind, in view of Simeon's looking for Christ, we keep in mind, as we know, 400 years had passed since the last prophet had been given by God to his people. And at this particular point in the history of redemption, in the life, in the nation of Israel, of the Jews, things were bleak. Things were dark for the nation of Israel. Israel was under the rule of Rome. As we know, Rome ruled with an iron fist, so to speak. Coupled with that, during the time of Jesus' advent, they were ruled by King Herod and his cruelty, who as king, even himself, tried to destroy Jesus, the child, to preserve his own kingdom. We add to this that during this time of darkness, the Jewish religious establishment was more concerned about itself than it was for the true worship of Almighty God. They seemed to have forgotten the promise of Messiah. They were concerned for themselves. They were concerned for their position. They were concerned for their own wealth. And yet, during this time of darkness, God kept for himself a remnant of faithful people who looked for the coming of Messiah, who believed the word of God to be true. They looked for the consolation of Israel. They looked for the salvation that God promised would come. And so it is today, beloved. So it is today. In terms of the history of redemption, we live in this country in times that could be understood as bleak, times that are even dark, not only in our country, but in the world around us. It seems, at least to me, at times that God has allowed the enemy to unleash this tidal wave of perversion and godlessness upon this world. We all understand that. But we say this too. None of these things that we see day in and day out, none of these things can stop, withstand the coming triumph of the kingdom of God and our King, who is Jesus Christ. He is coming. Like Simeon, let us be righteous. Let us be devout in our service to Christ as we look ahead for his return by faith. The last point about Simeon that we learn from this text is that the Holy Spirit was upon him. The Holy Spirit of God was upon him. And this was a special blessing in that time in the history of redemption. God had given this power of the Holy Spirit to Simeon, this blessing. We know before the atonement, before the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that most believers did not enjoy the influence of the Holy Spirit, certainly like Simeon enjoyed it. This was a blessing of God giving particularly to him. And God endowed to Simeon this rare, this special blessedness of the Holy Spirit that he enjoyed. And this leads us now to the point of God's promise to Simeon that we learn from the text. Now read from verse 26, this promise that God made to Simeon, verse 26. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit, speaking of Simeon, that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. God made that promise to Simeon, a layman in the church, not a priest, not a prophet. Yet God made this promise to his son, to his servant, to Simeon. God promised, again through his Spirit, that he would reveal to his servant, to Simeon, that before he died, the one he longed to see, he would see. The promised Christ he longed to see would be made manifest to this servant of Christ. Now, one of the interesting aspects of this promise to Simeon that we don't know for sure is at what point in time in Simeon's life was this promise made. We typically assume it was made towards the end of his life as an older man, and that could very well be true. It's probably true, but we don't know that for a fact. But nevertheless, at some point in his life, God made this promise through his Spirit to Simeon. And regardless, I think we can take from this text that Simeon, having heard the promise of the Word of God, he believed that promise of God to be true. He heard it. He trusted in it. He believed by faith what God had said to him was true and would happen and would occur. He didn't know when. And yet, I have to think, I'm wondering in my mind, day after day as he woke up and made his way to the temple, perhaps he thought, this might be the day. This might be the day that I will see the one that God has promised to reveal to me. And then sure enough, that day came. God revealed to Simeon exactly what he promised he would do. Look at verse 27. And when Simeon came in the spirit to the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to carry out for him the custom of the law. Now, two things we learn from this passage. And the first is this, that on this day, the Holy Spirit directed Simeon to go to the temple at a particular time, at a particular point in the day. And secondly, at that exact same time, God directed Mary and Joseph to bring, who had brought their child, Jesus, into the temple at the very same time. And so in their obedience to the law designed and given to the nation of Israel, 40 days after Jesus had been born, they brought him to the temple. And they came to offer a sacrifice. And they offered this sacrifice for two reasons, according to the law. And this is the thing about Mary and Joseph. They were obeying the law. They were devout. They obeyed the law of God. First, they brought Jesus and, of course, Mary as well for a ceremonial purification for Mary after having given birth to her firstborn son. That was required by the law. So she did that. But secondly, also, they came for a redemption payment that was required by the law of God for the firstborn child. Now, this signifies, in a very real sense, a ransom payment to God who had delivered his people from death. You may recall back at the Exodus when God delivered the Jews from death. That death, that angel of death that worked across the whole nation of Egypt. His people were protected from death. That angel of death passed over the houses of the Jews whose doorway was covered by the blood of the Passover lamb. And all this, beloved, points to this fact that when Jesus was born into the world, he was born under the law. He was born under the requirements of the law of God as a man, as the God-man. And all this is connected, again, in this context, it's connected with Joseph and Mary and their public consecration, their giving over of their son to Almighty God for his service and for his work. And now as Simeon walked into the temple on this day and his eyes now were directed towards Mary and Joseph and he saw this little baby, at that very moment the Holy Spirit began to reveal to Simeon that, Simeon, this is the one. This is the Holy One of Israel, the one I told you about, the one you've been looking for. This is he. And I can imagine, as Simeon now began to pick up his pace to walk to where Mary and Joseph were, perhaps he began to run a little bit. I got to get there now. Going to see that baby boy. And in verse 28 tells us he took him into his arms and he began to bless Almighty God. I've thought about this too. I wonder as he approached Mary, he just didn't grab her probably out of Mary's arms. He probably said to her, "Can I hold your baby? Can I hold your baby?" And he holds in his arms the Savior of the world. This little one whom Joseph and Mary had come into the temple to offer a redemption payment according to the law. But also as Simeon held this little one, he also saw in his life, in his death, one who also would pay redemption price of salvation, not only for Simeon himself, but for all of his people. So Simeon holds this little one, his Savior, he holds into his arms, and he prays, he gives thanks to Almighty God. This is a response. He prays to God. And not only does he begin to pray, but he prays with a song. He actually sings his prayer. And this song of Simeon is known as the Nunc Dimittis. It's given that name for the first two words of the translation of this verse in the Latin Vulgate. He begins by saying, or singing, I won't sing for you, by saying, "Now, Master." He says, "Now, Master," in verse 29, "you are releasing your bondservant to depart in peace according to your word." And so Simeon's saying here, he's singing to his Lord. He's singing to Christ himself. "I am ready to leave this world. I am a simple servant. I am your bond servant. And you have done just as you promised you would do. And now, Master, cast me off from this world in the peace and the rest and the quietness that you alone can bring." He says in verse 30, "For my eyes have seen your salvation." Now, Simeon, we would understand, was well acquainted with the Old Testament promises of the coming Messiah, of the Christ, of the Anointed One. His Savior, Simeon understood, is not simply for the Jews, but for all people whom God would call to himself. And now as he holds this little one in his arms, the one, our Savior, who was sent by God himself to save his people, as he holds him in his arms, his mind now begins to move. And as he's singing and praising God, he moves to Isaiah. And Simeon continues to sing, and he sings these words. In verse 32, he says, a light of revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people, Israel. Now Simeon now looks up, looks upon this infant child, this one who would proclaim himself 30 years later, the one he's holding in his arms, 30 years later would say these words, "I am," he says, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." So beloved, this is what salvation looks like. This is the salvation of the people of God. It's a baby born into this world to a lonely, lowly virgin girl, not through a seed of a human father, but from the seed of God himself. This baby, God incarnate, who grew into a man who would do what we could never do. We could never do ourselves. In his life, from beginning to end, everything that he thought, everything that he said, everything that he did was in perfect compliance, perfect obedience to the law of God. Everything, perfection in his life. And that's why he was the perfect sacrifice for us. He went to the cross, perfect in every particular way, and gave himself. He gave himself for us. He gave himself to God's judgment on our behalf for our sin, such that when God himself laid our guilt upon him and his wrath was poured out upon him for us, he did all that we could never do for ourselves. And having said that, after he died and he was resurrected from the dead to eternal life, so too can we. So too will we be resurrected to eternal life in our Savior, in our Lord, by our faith in him. And so we end here by saying this. This is the person of Jesus Christ. This is Jesus the Christ, who brings light and glory into this dark place. He reveals to us, Christ reveals to us the very grace of God. In sending his Son to us, he is Emmanuel, he is God with us, he is the Word who became flesh. He reveals to us also the very righteousness of God in laying upon that perfect Christ the guilt of us, of our sin, and pouring out His wrath of our sin upon our Savior. And finally, He reveals to us the very love of God. The love of God. In Christ, we've been given all of His righteousness. We stand before one day, we'll stand before a holy God, fully cleansed by the blood of Christ Himself, who was born into this world as our light and our life. And beloved, this indeed is what salvation looks like. And we pray for this. Father, we praise You for Your goodness. We praise You for revealing the revelation of Christ our Lord. We thank You, Lord, that You have given us the magnificence of Your own Son, so that we may have not only salvation in Him, but have everlasting life and be in fellowship with You forever and ever. We praise You for Your goodness, for Your grace. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.